You're listening to a recorded talk from Greenbelt Festival.
Beautiful out there in the rain. Hello, person at the back waving. Hi, nice to see you. Thank you so much for coming and checking us out. My name's Natalie Quatermass.
I'm Henry Raby.
And together we are
Vandal Factory.
If you're new to the Vandal Factory podcast, we talk about arts. We talk about activism and those glorious, beautiful moments when they meet like a big, soddy mug pile.
Yeah.
Like when water and earth meet and it gets soggy and messy and interesting.
Where are you getting your metaphor inspiration from today?
Deep from the bowels of my...
What's right in front of you right now. Yeah. Give us a cheer if you've listened or seen Vandal Factory before. Holy monkeys! And you came again! Wowzers. That's amazing! Give us a cheer if you've never heard of Vandal Factory and you've turned up anyway. Whoa! You guys are the best! Thank you so much! We've got some very, very special guests for you, and they are called...
Spate, who is a Irish-Palestinian rapper hip-hop extraordinaire!
Woo! They're going to be playing for us, and we're also hearing from the incredible Flamey Grant! Yes, and we'll, as well as performing, they're also going to be joining us in a chat about hope and anger. These are the core themes that come up in our podcast over and over again, because these are the fuels that keep artists and activists going when the times get tough. And oh boy, are the times tough at the moment, not to mention the rain. So we like to ask each other at the beginning of every podcast, instead of how you doing, Henry, because to be honest, we live together. It's incredibly difficult to come up with new material and make it sound fresh.
What you say, it's incredibly difficult to live together.
It is also trying. It's challenging. Ask me about it later.
Natalie, how's your hope / anger?
I think it's impossible not to feel hopeful when you're at Greenbelt Festival. My goodness me, even with the rain, it is so beautiful. What a gorgeous community that has been built up here. This is our third time here at Greenbelt, and we just, as artists, you get looked after so well by the staff. Like, let's give a big cheer for the staff. Thank you so much. All the volunteers and everyone who's been coming over and over again. What a welcoming, beautiful group and bubble that this is, that everyone has created over many years. So that gives me hope that people can be good.
People can be good.
How about you, Henry? How's your hope? How's your anger?
I'm really hopeful. We had a great day yesterday because we saw the amazing Grace Petrie. We caught the last couple of songs, who was just... The soul is lifted.
Yes.
And we also saw an incredible band on this stage, Yaki, who are just
so good.
I just was like, I'm feeling all the anger and the good good vibes.
Oh, yes.
Good angry vibes.
It's good to express your anger to some punk bands. That's what we're here to do at Greenbelt this week. So that's a little bit about how our hope and how our anger is doing at the moment. But we are not going to leave you out in the rain. No. We're not going to stand here happy in our little stage that's got a shelter on it while you're freezing and getting soaking. We're going to come out and we're going to ask you, how is your hope? How is your anger? So have a little think. Something that's giving you hope, something that's giving, maybe it's giving you more anger at the moment. And if you'd love to share it, we would love to hear about it. I was going to say something else. Oh yeah, here's a reminder. I was just watching the amazing Hannah Davies do a poetry set on this stage. And I was sat out there, where you're sat right now, relatable. And I realised that I was like crunching my shoulders and my neck up and like holding my knees and my muscles. And that doesn't stop you getting wet. It just gives you a crick in your neck. So can we just, everyone just take a second to like relax your shoulders. You will get equal amounts of wetness even if your shoulders are relaxed. So enjoy the sound of the water. You're here. You're going to stick around and, you know, think about what gives you hope and anger. Anyone got something that springs to mind?
For the listeners at home or listening on the bus, 1,000 people just put their hands up, and it's really hard for us to figure out who to go to first. Okay, over there.
Oh, I'm going. It's my job. Okay.
Go, Natalie. Ooh. Go. She's a-running over the mud. If she slips up, that would not be good.
Hello, person at the back of the audience with a fantastic umbrella and a wonderful Greenbelt T-shirt. I'm painting a picture, Henry, for the audience. What gives you hope? What gives you anger?
Hope is that it's raining and my garden is going to look so much better when I get home.
Yeah.
Anger is how there are so many natural disasters and we have to get to this point before anybody does anything about it.
Yes, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. It was amazing the first time it rained, the difference that my garden looked instantly. It looked like all my plants had gone, hello, thank you. It's just amazing how resilient nature is. That gives me a lot of hope. And you're absolutely right. I share your rage at the destruction that we're causing all over our globe. Anyone else got some hope? Oh, right next to me. Thank you so much. What's your hope? What's your anger?
Anger? Vladimir Putin?
Oh, that's a good one, yeah.
Hope? My Ukrainian friends are still alive.
Amazing. Wonderful. Great, great, great. Thank you. Yes, big round of applause for your hope and anger there. One more for one more. Oh, I'm coming.
She's a going. Slipping and a sliding.
Ooh, that was on purpose. It was fully choreographed. See that?
Here we go. Basically, my hope definitely has been the wonderful music and community that it creates, especially at Grace Petrie yesterday, that it kind of generates around that, and the amount of energy that you can feel from other people being directed towards good things gives me a lot of hope, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's give you a massive round of applause. And it G's you up, doesn't it? It fuels you up, and then you can go out into the world and put all that energy back into it. Hennes, have we got time for one more?
Yeah, we've got time for one more, mate.
One more over on this side of the stage. Oh, lovely. A little sheepish hand going up here. Look, I'm being really dainty and stylish, people at home, as I skip through the mud.
I'd say one thing that gives me hope is how many people are turning up to things like this, even in the awful weather, whether it be because of how hot things have been or how wet it is at the moment. Mm-hmm. How many people still show up to like carry the messages along that people are bringing. Yeah. And I'd say one thing that brings me anger is the fact that there are so many people who are like bringing these messages of things need to change, whether it be politically or because of the environment or all sorts, but still so little is being done by those in power to listen to those messages, despite how many people are saying them or singing them. Yes. Or all sorts.
Yes, thank you so much. That was brilliantly put. Well done. Thank you. Is it time for everyone's favourite part of the show?
It's my favourite part of the show.
Whoa. Come on!
So, Natalie is a theatre maker and an artist and a community activist, and I am a poet. And it's a part of the show when I get to read a poem, which is also known as Henry Does His Own Thing. So what we're going to do after three is you're all going to go, he's doing his own thing. Ready? One, two, three.
He's doing his own thing.
This is a poem. My theory is nobody hates this country more than the people that pretend to love this country. And this is a poem about that. We love our country, and our country's great. For this land, we would die to defend the flags held up by cable ties. Yes, it's pride right up to our bloodshot, dilated eyes. We love our country, and our country's great, except for all the parts we hate, like migrants and refugees that make us irate, nervous when we see a different race in adverts and sitcoms and soap operas and sports and shops and parks and the National Health Service. Yes, us brave men see skin colour and we get nervous. We love our country and our country's great, except for the wobbly disabled and the needy deaf and the weedy blind and the wheelchair kind and those that drive us round the bend. We hate the anxious and the depressed, the autistic and the send. And we hate the drug addicts and the idle wastes. But we love our country and our country's great, except for all the scroungers and the shirkers and the students and strikers and trade union workers and civil servants and the bloody council and health and safety officers. After all, what have they ever done for us? Because we love our country and our country's great. Well, except for the do-gooding lawyers and the bleeding heart charities, the RNLI and the single mums and all the travellers and hippies and kids on scooters and kids who vape and spicy tastes. Yes, we love our country and our country's great, except for when we're told that we have to hydrate or relate to another human being, fuming at the gay lot and the trans mob and all the drag stuff. We hate cross-dressing. Now let's replace it and go to the panto. Wait a minute. We love our country and our country's great, apart from the bloody vegans and ear piercings and dyed hair and snowflakes and traitors and soy boys and the betas. We're haters of men who aren't manly men or feminist women who demand too much. Or progressives who protest for peace. Yes, it's people who don't hate that we hate the least. So shout it and wheeze it, love it or leave it, because we bloody love it, except for all the pain that rests in our brain living rent-free. Pile it on the socials, clog it with AI, we're England until the planet dies. Flummox and flagellate, ignore our prostate. We love this country, because this country's great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Bloody great.
Bloody great.
Shall we get a bloody guest act on?
Yeah.
So, imagine the fires of your heart warming up, green belt. Oh, bubbling away as fire is wont
to
do.
Let's get your toes a-tapping.
Doesn't really work.
Come on. Get your toes a-tapping. Let's start.
They've flown all the way here and boy are their arms tired.
Oh, please. Wonderful. Let's give your arms a good slapping on your thighs. Let's get you warmed up, staying nice and dry.
Please make some noise, Green Belt, for Flaming Grant! Oh, there they
yes!
come!
Da, 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 da. You can grab that mic.
Fabulous.
We're going to chat first.
Oh, good. I like chatting.
Chat, chat, chat.
And when we've had a lovely chat, you
Are
can play
sitting?
Us a few songs.
Yeah. Hi, Greenbelt.
We have a little Vandal Factory sandwich here. Me and Henry on either side.
I like it. I like being in the middle.
Don't they look fabulous?
They look amazing.
You've got to
You're all be, like this.
You don't always need to be honest.
Give us a cheer if you saw Flamey perform yesterday. Lovely stuff.
Amazing.
Thank you for having me. This is so fun.
You're so welcome. How did the gig go yesterday?
Best gig of my life.
Oh!
I mean, top five for sure. I'm not like I'm not exaggerating just to like, you know, butter y'all up. It was so incredible. I love it here. It's only my second time, but it feels like coming home.
Oh, yeah. That's beautiful.
It's amazing.
Well, tell us a bit more about your Greenbelt experience and what is it that feels like home to you when you come to Greenbelt Festival?
Well, I am from the Appalachian Mountains in the States, in North Carolina. So, you know, our lands used to be one.
Yeah.
So there's a lot that feels, you know, just walking around, I feel at home just in nature here. But more than that, it's the people who make this festival happen, who support it, who come. The volunteers here are incredible. They take such good care of you here. The only problem is when you don't like read your advance like an artist should. I want to shout out Steve who loaned me this guitar because I showed up today with no guitar. Hi, thank you. There you are. Everybody say thank you, Steve, for giving me a guitar.
Thank you, Steve.
Yes. Otherwise, I would have been singing a cappella, and that's okay, but it's more fun with this. So.
And we've already seen how difficult it is to run through this mud at the moment without skidding. So Steve was like sliding to get an extra guitar so we can hear your beautiful voice and songwriting ability very, very shortly.
So, Flamey, so for people who don't know, who aren't your adoring fans,
oh,
that
right,
have come
yeah.
back, acoustic music would comes in many forms, and especially in America, there's folk and country bluegrass. How would you describe your style of music?
Yeah, I like the words Americana and folk and country and a little gospel, because I grew up, you know, very evangelical in America. I was not allowed to listen to anything that was not contemporary Christian music, anything we could buy at our local Christian bookstore. That's all I was allowed to listen to, which is why I named myself Flamey Grant, obviously. So it's all in there. It feels very Appalachian and folk music, but there's also kind of the gospel influence and all of that. But yeah.
So that has influenced you in your music and your outlook, your how you see the world.
Unfortunately, no, for the better. Yeah, it's a journey, obviously, growing up as a queer kid, a closeted queer kid in a place like the American South. And it took me a long time to figure out parts of who I am and accept myself and let those parts breathe and let them out and bloom and blossom. So I've just kind of always related to the late bloomer trope. I mean, I didn't come out fully until 28. I was 28. And then I didn't start drag until 37, which...
Why?
That's the other piece, by the way. Usually I look a little different.
Oh, yeah.
just so you know, there's drag involved in all of this. Mm. It's just been a...
Well, I wonder about your coming out story, but also accepting yourself and your faith and all elements of your identity. And as a performer, what role did... music and performing and writing play in that lifelong journey of acceptance?
I've been writing songs since I was 9 years old. So I do think of myself as a songwriter first and foremost. The drag came much later. But for me, songwriting was always the place to go to process those really big emotions that I couldn't externalize anywhere because there was no safe place to do that. I didn't even know what queerness was until, you know, really late in high school. Like, I did not know as a child that there were happy queer people living their lives out in the world, right? I was isolated from that. My community would have said they were protecting me from that, but really they were isolating me and cutting me off from access to examples of thriving queer people in the world, because we've always been here. And so... The music and the art for me were it's the best therapy I've ever had, you know, and the cheapest, thankfully. and it's also just it's my diary, you know. It's where I journal. It's how I get all of that stuff outside, so that I can look at it and have it reflected back to me. And in those early days when I was a kid, it was the only way I knew to process those big feelings. So now, as a performer who does it for a living, which is not a thing I ever saw coming, I 3 years ago, I quit my day job. I've worked in nonprofit for years and years, and it was fine, and I loved it. I did good things. I worked in animal welfare and theater and things like that. But 3 years ago, I was able to quit the day job and start doing this, like, full time.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And that happened thanks to... Just other people reflecting back to me, we see ourselves in the stories you tell, we see ourselves in the drag you do, and the art that you bring to us. And there was a switch that flipped at some point during pandemic, because that's where I started doing drag in pandemic. Like, I was just a bedroom queen, y'all, a quarantine queen, we called ourselves. And, I just watched YouTube videos about makeup tutorials and things like that. But at some point, I realized there were people reflecting back to me, oh my gosh, like, I see myself in this, or this means something to me. And that was when I was like, whoa, like, is there something here? Like, can I bring my music and songwriting and the drag and performance art all together? All of my favorite things, which, who knew? Like, I got to do all my favorite things in one little package, and
That's really, really powerful. I love it more and more to see artists blending, whether it's comedy or songwriting, and being like, you do not have to have different personas, or literally, in your case, like, an entirely different persona. You don't have to cut, and including your faith as well. You don't have to cut that off just because you're
you're queer and you want to embrace one element of your identity, you don't have to choose. You can be both, whether that's an art form or religious faith or whether that's gender identity. And I think that's an immensely powerful and joyful thing to celebrate. So thank you. Oh. That wasn't a question. That was just me going, I love it. I love it
so much. Thank you very much.
Obviously, Greenbelt's a very... feels very unique space, but what are some of the spaces you also like to go into to perform? What are there? I mean, I never set foot in the United States of America, so I don't know it other than what
now
I see on the
screen. Now it's not a good time,
right?
you can stay here for a while.
Okay.
We're working on it. We'll make it safe for you again, but
sorry, babe, I'll be fine.
I probably have the weirdest like. Repertoire of venues that of any singer-songwriter because I play like traditional listening rooms, folk rooms, bars, but I also play like the drag bars. You know, I play the queer clubs in the States, and then I'm also in a lot of churches, which was not a part of this job that I foresaw really happening. In fact, I remember one of the first churches that called me to book me was a Baptist church in America, which. I don't know how much about traditions in America y'all are aware of, but for me, like growing up in the South, all I knew was Southern Baptist, which is not a safe place for queer folks at all. And so this Baptist church called from Massachusetts, and they were like, "Hey, we'd like to book you." And I was like, "You guys know you're not talking to Amy Grant's team, right?" Like, and that's how I learned. Oh, there's like affirming Baptists. There are lots of traditions in the States that I was again isolated from knowing they even existed as a kid. And now, I get to tour churches all over the country, and here in the fall, I'm doing a 15-city tour in November in the UK for the first time. I know I'm very excited.
Wonderful!
And about half the venues are churches here too, so that's going to be
fantastic. Well, quickly before we forget, can you give us a quick shout out to like some of the places you'll be visiting?
Yes.
And where, if anyone wants to see Flamey again, or anyone listening at home and wants to check you out,
and we'll react to them as two people from the north to see how we feel about these places.
Yeah. Okay, we'll give you the UK download.
This is not in any kind of order because I don't have the memorized. Yeah, but I know I'm going to... Well, I'm playing London. I'm playing... Cambridge. Brighton. Where else? Pontypridd in Wales.
Oh, nice.
Am I saying that right?
Lovely. Getting a Welsh date in there.
Oh,
brilliant.
I'm not going to pretend to do a Welsh accent and how to pronounce that.
Me neither. I just learned how to pronounce it. I'm probably butchering it. I'm sorry to our Welsh friends. There's a Derry in Northern Ireland.
Oh, fantastic.
This is all...
Leeds. Leeds.
Oh, that's a good one. I think there's a Manchester.
That's where we're from.
Manchester!
Brilliant! Everyone loves it. Yeah. You're
going to
have a great time in the North.
Our new Prime Minister loves Manchester. So
great.
It's basically all he cares about. Is
that person laughed
vibes.
A lot at you saying that.
well, without further ado, I think we should hear a couple of tracks.
Yes,
I'd be honored.
Please.
I'd be honored. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, please, but without further ado, put your hands together.
We're both doing it together.
We'll do it differently, because that's how good presenting works. well, 3, 2, 1, we'll say Flamey Grant.
Okay.
3, 2, 1, Flamey Grant!
Wow. Slick.
All right, I need some help on this first one, okay?
Oh, that's great, thank you. So this first one, you don't even have to carry a tune, you just have to be loud, okay?
Got it covered.
Your part is, you have 4 lines, and they go like this. They go, I don't want revenge! Can you do that for me? 3, 2, 1.
I don't want revenge!
Awesome. You do that twice, I don't want revenge. The third time, you come back and you say, I don't want to be friends! Ready? 3, 2, 1.
I don't want to be friends!
And then the last line, you go back and say, I don't want revenge, okay? And y'all have to help me with that because it, like, happens at the same time as another part, and I only have 1 mouth, so, that you can see. Yeah, thank you for the 2 laughs. Can we get the guitar up? There we go.
I remember where I was back in 95, a Christian school, 8th grade, trying to survive with a limp wrist. Live strong wasn't for me. I was branded with a double WJD. Josh was the kid always in my face. He was a good old boy who was bad at grades. called me a faggot every chance he got. And you probably think I wrote this song so I could take my shot, but I'm not. I don't want revenge. I want a shot at a life where being queer don't feel like a nightmare. Don't want revenge. Just for you to be real, I'm done paying the price of your failure to feel. I don't wanna be. I'm not coming for you, but you keep throwing stones, so it's hard to ignore you. Don't want
revenge.
I just want you to know that I'm not gonna stop till you're ready to show that you learned your lesson and you're gonna get some therapy. Yeah. I was thinking back to 2008. The church that we started was doing great in California, trying to help them believe. Just me and my best friend, Pastor Steve. We talked, hoping change, it was Obama's time. At the very last second, Steve changed his mind. That was the year that gay marriage fell, and I bet he probably voted for Prop 8 as well. Well, thanks, Steve, that's swell. I don't want
revenge.
I want a shot at a life where being queer don't feel like a nightmare.
Don't want revenge.
Just for you, what's this line? This goes,
don't want revenge.
Yeah, if you follow Jesus, why don't you love a little more like he does?
Don't want to be
friends. I want to start drama, but you can't get away with causing all of this trauma.
Don't want revenge.
I just want you to know when you become the oppressor, you get overthrown. So maybe now's a good time to start that therapy. If you ever look me up one day and ask to grab a drink, to make several amends at the suggestion of your shrink. I don't want no payback, even though they say revenge is sweet. 'Cause my therapist said that all your baggage was never about me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I just hope you but I want a shot at a life where being queer don't feel like a nightmare. Just for you to be real, I'm done paying the price of your failure to feel. I don't worry. I want a shot at a life where being gay as hell don't feel like a nightmare.
Don't worry.
Just a country that's honest, the justice and liberty we were promised. Don't wanna be. Here's a suggestion. Could the taxes I pay not fund my oppression?
Don't mind.
I just want you to know that CBT is the way to go. I don't want revenge. I just want you to get some therapy.
How's the connection on that guitar? Was that, are we okay on that?
Good.
Great. Can I get just a touch more in the wedge if that's possible? Thank you. That was y'all. Great. Great job. Excellent. Give yourselves a round of applause. One more? Yeah.
I felt like a backing right. dancer. Yeah, it was amazing. I loved it.
Well, this is
just waiting to become a gospel singer.
I can't wait.
Join me. Let's do it. Let's go on the road. This is a brand new one. It's I've got a record that'll come out hopefully next spring. We recorded it back in May, and this is we'll be on that new record. Like I said, I'm a late bloomer, especially when it comes to this journey of queerness and figuring out who I am in the world. And one of the things that drag has brought out for me was my own gender journey. You know, I was raised to be male. I was raised to be a leader in my little evangelical church. And it took me a really long time to realize and recognize that I'm not male. I'm something else. And so that's what this song is about. This is called I Used to Be a Man. I used to be a man, but I'm something else now that I'm born again. Time, take it all in, the sight, the sound, the spectacle, the wages of sin.
So you think you clocked me, you think you're gonna rock me by calling me what I used to be. Well, babe, I hate to take away your little hollow sense of victory. Let's...
New song. As I said, let me remember these words.
Your little hollow sense of victory, but I ain't trying to hide it. In fact, I'm gonna put it right in front of your eyes. I tell no lies, cause I want you to know you can change, you can grow. Transformation's the way of the wise. I used to be a man, but I'm something else now that I'm born. Time, take it all in, the sight, the sound, the spectacle, the wages of sin. So you want a grandstand, a stranger in a strange land you call a whore. We're the scapegoat for, but we're older than the God you invented to justify your holy war. Let's call it what it is then, a dire lack of vision, you're perishing. You can feel the sting of seeing us free, knowing you'll never be, so we're crashing out while you're flourishing. Oh, I...
Beautiful, incredible,
soulful. Beautiful voice, it was amazing.
Like I was there in the North Carolina mountains.
Imagine, I was transported there, right there. Is it this grey and drizzly in the North Carolina mountains as well? It can be.
Drizzly boys.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you so much. You're welcome to stick around on stage if you want. Yeah, of course. Why not? See if you're coming back on later. Oh, is that a little tease? Because we will be hearing, hopefully, more from Flamey at the very end of the podcast.
But in the meantime, we're going to get our next guest who's brought a friend.
Yay! Woo! Yay for friends!
So as well as Shpeit, who is an incredible Palestinian rapper, we've also got KNC from the Go For It tribe. Can you make some noise as they come onto the stage, please?
Yes! Let's go, go, go! Go, go, go! Welcome, welcome! Hello!
Let's make some space on the stage. Yeah. For everyone who's cool on the stage.
Comfortable.
Lovely. How are we?
Hiya. Oh, we've done it again. We've done the little like Vandal Factory sandwich where we've put you in the middle.
That's all right.
Just hope you feel comfy.
Yeah, we're all friends here. We're all friends here.
Lovely. So this is your first time at Greenbelt?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Amazing for both of you. So yes. Far, first impressions.
Do you know what? It's amazing. It's great to see so much love and unity, you know, from the community and the people coming together from all walks of life. So it's an honour to be here with you all.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being here. So we introduce you as a friend. Are you a friend? TNC, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and the Go For It tribe?
Yeah, for sure. I am a musician from Crawley. I don't know if any of you know where Crawley is, but that's where I was born. It's right by Gatwick Airport. And I met Isaac when, like, a good, like, over 10 years ago.
Yeah, 10 years ago at a spoken word event with someone who recently passed, actually, Benjamin Zephaniah, who was an absolute legend. So RIP to
Can
Benjamin
we make some
Zephaniah.
Noise for Benjamin Zephaniah?
Yeah. So it was an honour to be able to perform with
wow.
him, you know, as an aspiring, you know, artist and poet. When I was coming up, to be on stage with someone like that is an absolute honour.
Yeah.
You know, he's a legend to us, and I remember him coming into our school when I was a young child and teaching us about poetry and performing for us and opening our eyes to some of the trials and tribulations around the world. So
yes,
but it was all thanks to Amy True and Logic, who put on those workshops. They put on a bunch of, they were called the Revolutionary Mind workshops. And as young people, we were able to access these workshops for free. It kind of basically involved us being in the library and then being like, read these books and go find some books about what you want to write about. And kind of just making us like really think about what we were saying in the music that we were making from like a really early age, because we were like 15, 16 at that time. And that was around the time I just kind of started running Go For It Tribe, which at that point was just a YouTube channel that we'd put stuff out every week. But over the past like decade or so, has grown into like an independent hip hop collective, and there's like about 50 of us all involved in the tribe.
Wow, yeah. That's amazing, incredible, and like just the importance of young people or anyone really having access to free arts education and education, full stop, and having people that. Or good role models that you can relate to, that relate to you. Like, I'm
exactly,
sure there's loads of people who work with young people out there. In fact, let's give it up for all the youth workers and the teachers and the parents and
Shout
everyone who's raising and providing those spaces for young people that are otherwise marginalised from the mainstream. That is so important.
It's very important, you know, that we teach the younger generations up and coming about, you know, the world. You know, that we're human beings before we're anything else. It doesn't matter our colour, our religion, our race, how we speak, where we grew up. We're human beings. And if everybody learned that from a young age and we grew up with manners and love and respect for other people, you know, the world would be a better place. So that's kind of the aim, really.
Beautiful. That's pretty simple when you put it like that,
really,
isn't it? It's
it really
not that
is.
Complicated.
It's not.
So that's kind of what, that was your first introduction to being a writer for both of you and starting to think and put your words down.
It was definitely early on. Like I'd been, maybe a few years before that, I'd been like the first experiences, but like this was early on. Formative years as an artist.
I used to sit in my friend's back garden and we used to just write bars together about anything, you know, that came to our mind. And, you know, with my background, I'm Palestinian Irish. So growing up, as you can imagine, you know, my father grew up in Palestine and he lived under occupation and apartheid. And with my history from the Irish side, you know, we had 800 years of oppression. So growing up, you know, I was taught, you know, to always stand up for the little man, to stand up against the oppressors. You know, I stand for freedom, I stand for equality. And as a child, I was lucky enough to be able to visit Palestine. Often my father took me and my older brother many times as children. We'd stay in the West Bank at our auntie's house in a village called Betiksa, which is just east of Jerusalem, where we're originally from. Unfortunately, now the village has been besieged. It's been taken over by the occupation and given to illegal settlers, unfortunately, so I'm not able to visit there anymore. I was, however, able to visit the actual house that my father grew up in the old city of Jerusalem.
Okay.
He had a cousin who lived in the home. I'm going back about 20 years, I'd say now.
Yeah.
And her name was Moze. Now, Moze in Arabic translates to banana in English.
So my dad's cousin's name was Banana.
Oh.
All right. But luckily, you know, she lived there at the time and I was able to visit. And my dad told me when he was a child there was three families living in one home. It was a big three-bedroom home in the old city, and three families lived in there. Upstairs was a lady with a young child and a newborn. My dad was one of 12 children, but at the time there was eight of them, and my tata, my grandma, all living in one room, and there was a family of five in the other. You know, so like growing up, learning about all of these kind of things, that's kind of shaped me into who I am today, to deliver my message to the people about our history and the world and how we can make a change, you know?
Yeah, amazing. Let's give it a round of applause for that.
Thank you.
How does that manifest in both of your writing then? Like, is it that you're seeing injustice in the world and going, like, right, okay, time to sit down and address this? Or 100%. Is it just coming out?
100%, you know, like, of course, I'm Palestinian. I'll always stand for Palestine and raise awareness and make music. And I do a lot of fundraisers around the country. But it's not just about Palestine. We have the Congo, the people of the Congo suffering. We have Sudan, we have Yemen, we have Lebanon. We've had Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, Cuba now, Venezuela. All of these countries suffering around the world. So it's only right that we be a voice for all of humanity, you know, and stand for everyone who needs a voice, who needs help. Any fundraisers we can do, it's very important that we as people show up to rallies, show up to these events, show up to fundraisers, anything that we can to try and make a difference. You know, boycott, divestment, sanction. You know, I try and live by boycott as well as I can. I won't purchase certain items, and it's great to see here, even you know, that they have products that are not on the boycott list, you know, they've found an alternative, you know. So anything that we can all do as a collective is very important to keep doing this. So just always bear that in mind.
Yes, BTS, BTS,
BTS, BTS,
BTS.
Wonderful. So I think it's time to hear some music.
Okay.
We're going to have a poem out with some spoken words.
So we've got a set on in about half an hour. So I'm going to give you a little bit of spoken word now to give you a little teaser of the things that's coming later. And I think you might even drop a spoken word as well.
Yes. All right. Yes. Please.
We shall stand up.
Two for the price of one. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, here we go.
Woo-hoo!
So, a revolution in my mind. Call me revolutionary eyes. My first thought I wake up is how to free Palestine. Look how we live. They occupy our lands and then they bomb all our kids. Search up Balfour and see what he did. He gave away land that was never his. But it is what it is. Dreams of freedom for my family since I was a kid. Arms here, legs there. See, this is a result of modern warfare. But the news, it doesn't share. It seems you people just don't care. Go take a flight, bro. There's murder everywhere. Sense of murder in the air. See, how would you feel if we came to your land? We slaughtered all your people and we claimed your sand. How would you feel if we came to your house? We stole all your belongings and we raped your spouse. How would you feel if you were forced to resettle? And when you do, they continually stress you, continue to oppress you. And then they tell the world that you were all illegal. Second-class citizens, non-existent people. See, modern warfare equals bodies torn there. Children on the floor, yo, this is bloody slaughter. Call it modern torture. See, how is your life worth more than mine? How is my life worth more than his? Propaganda worked. It has forced the kids to believe in their life's worth more than his. So check this. Imagine Germany beat Britain and all the kids spoke German and the British were forced to live in half a country that's been torn to bits and are still oppressed. What would be your thoughts on this? So tell me, how would you feel if we came to your land? We slaughtered all your people and we claimed your sand. How would you feel if we came to your house? We stole all your belongings and we raped your spouse. How would you feel if you were forced to resettle? And when you do, they continually stress you, continue to oppress you. Thank you.
Woo!
Yes. Thank you.
Amazing. Thank you. And before you go, please, can you just stand up and turn around so the audience can see what I could see? Check out this jacket.
More blacks, more dogs, more Irish.
Yeah.
We'll never forget.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
KNC.
I do my best to be a good man. Principled, disciplined, and decent in my books, fam. So when I look back, at the end of my days, I'm gonna know where I stood. Now that's a good plan. To balance ego, yin yang, just living in this country, there's blood on my hands. There's no ethical consumption under capitalism, and we're all trapped in this system. So I'm a man on a mission to be the change I wanna see in this world. Do what I can. But this place give me the creeps, so I swerve to the studio dust where I'm at. Most of the time I make another beat and write a whole lot of rhymes, and it's consoling my mind to let go and just vibe. But doesn't change what's happening in Congo, Sudan, or Palestine.
Excuse me.
All those little kids who are dead, or the ways that the media lie. So I'm here with this man screaming, free, free Palestine, free, free
Palestine,
free, free Palestine, free, free
Palestine,
free, free
Palestine,
free, free
Palestine,
free, free
Palestine,
free, free
Palestine.
Salim.
Amazing. Thank you so, so much. So we are going to move on to a part of the show that we often call Nat's Provocation Stations. Nat, that's me. Provocation Stations, that's this part of the show. Welcome. You guys can stick around because you're going to get involved in it as well. I'll do some words and some talking to you, but mine don't rhyme as much as Henry's do. And then we're going to have a chat about it. All right? That's how it goes.
Sounds good.
As we said at the top of the show, we talk a lot about hope. We talk a lot about anger at the Vandal Factory show. And another thing that keeps on cropping up with all these incredible artists that we get on our stages is freedom. We often hear, free, free Palestine. But what does that really mean? And I'd love you all to take a second or two to really ask yourself, what does freedom mean to you? I said I wasn't going to rhyme, but then I accidentally did, so...
Are you getting for my job?
Yeah, that's it. We talk about freedom in Palestine, Sudan, Iran, all over the world. Maybe we've got an idea of what that looks like. Basic human rights, safety, food, healthcare, people just trying to live their lives. Or we talk about freedom within the queer community. The freedom to dress, dance, walk, breathe, just be however and whoever you want to be. Maybe we could talk about economic freedom. We know there are thousands of families up and down this country, one of the richest countries in the world, who are struggling to feed their kids during the summer holidays and are choosing between food or paying the energy bills while billionaires are getting richer and richer. What's free about that? Or maybe, even if you're not at the arse end of poverty, you still might be making those economic decisions. You might be, you know, there's a lot of economic privileges in my life, but I often like to take stock and think, if today or this week was my last week on earth, how would I want to live it? Well, I'd want to live it with spending brilliant quality time with my friends and family. I'd want to spend that time with being more creative, being in more muddy fields and sticky gig venues. I'd want to spend time feeding my family when they come round, feeding my friends and not worrying about the price of the food that I'm buying to give everyone a lovely time together. That doesn't feel like too much to ask for someone who's working full time. That freedom is taken away from me. It's taken away by pain and fatigue, and also by not being able to have access to quality healthcare because there isn't enough investment in disability, in women's healthcare, in healthcare issues. That's not freedom. So, that sounds like a Debbie Downer, but I do believe there are lots of freedoms we have in that we can celebrate. We are here in a gorgeous place. We are together, and we do have the freedom to have microphones in our hand and to say whatever the fuck we want about freedom. So, as a group of artists who talk about freedom, I thought, let's have a chat about it. What does it mean to you? And where does it come up in your work and in your life? How's that sound?
Sounds great.
Are you provoked?
I'm so provoked.
Good.
How provoked
good,
I
good,
am.
Good. All right, let's have a chat.
Anyone got a are you guys burning?
To me, freedom is life.
Yeah.
Freedom is life, you know. It's all I've ever wanted for my family, you know, growing up. So for me, hope is freedom. For me, I have a song.
Hope is freedom. Put on a t-shirt.
Hope is freedom. I have a song in my set called Hope, A Question of Hope. So I'll explain a lot of it in that for you as well. So yeah. But to
that's
me,
that's a good tease, isn't it?
Freedom is life. Freedom is life.
I think about the Angela Davis quote and book, freedom is a constant struggle. It's something we've got to constantly work towards. And it's linked in with everything. We're not free until all of us are free. Yep. If one of us isn't free, none of us are.
Absolutely.
Yeah, freedom for me just feels like, right now, especially in this moment, just feels like being able to walk down the street as ourselves without being harassed, without being accosted, without... To be able to, I mean, we already, as queer people, we already have to create our own spaces a lot of the times, right? We create our own bars, our own safe spaces, and those places are you know, now being infringed upon. It's like that we can't even like make our own little quiet corners to exist in. So freedom is just, can we just be? The impulse from certain parts of society to control everybody else, right? Like that's what I feel like we're fighting against right now, is like people who just aren't content and aren't happy in their own lives, and they have to project all of their own bullshit onto the rest of us. It's like, let us live. Like,
yes. And I think in both different ways, the queer community is the canary down the mine of what freedom can really look like. Because if you have to fight for your freedom from the day you're born to just be who you want to be, that's why it's loud, that's why it's proud, and that long history of fighting for freedom. And it's often why people are so terrified of that, because they see someone living their truth and being completely free.
And they're not. Yeah.
And that's why it's so terrifying, right? Have you experienced any of that, Flamie? Have you seen that in your own life?
Yeah, I feel like so much of the trolling, I have a handful of protesters here and there in person at my shows, but most of this, my stuff happens online, the stuff I face. And it's so transparent almost always. I just feel bad for you, poor little troll on the internet. Like, I know that you are hung up on all of your own, whatever your own thing you've got going on, you're projecting that onto me. And that just, it makes me sad. And frankly, I wish for all of the trolls the freedom that I feel, you know, because then we wouldn't have to deal with them.
First and foremost, we wouldn't have to deal with them. And then go ahead.
Freedom is safety. Freedom is equality. Freedom is me not being stopped at the airports for wearing my kufiya. I should be able to wear this every single day without a problem, without being bothered anywhere I go. You know, freedom is this here. What we're doing now. Freedom here to sit with each other and enjoy events like this. Freedom is your meal, your next meal. Freedom is waking up tomorrow knowing that you will be alive. You're not going to be blown up. You're not going to be starved, you know? Mm-hmm. Freedom is very important to all. Freedom should be basic.
Yeah.
I think, like, also artistic freedoms have been eroded so much in both sides of the pond, well, all over the world. I guess I want to give this, like, very minor example, but at the moment, Leeds Festival is happening, and our local councillor, who is a reform councillor in Leeds, challenged the organiser of Leeds Festival, and he said, what will you do if NECAP do, quote, Palestinian chants? Will you pull the plug, like, the debate should have happened with Bob Villain? Yeah. And there's this sort of, and it's fair play to the Leeds Festival, and he's like, nope, I won't do that, which is like, good, won't be censored. But the right wing hold this language of like cancel culture, and you can't say anything these days, and you're not allowed to speak your mind anymore for fear of the woke brigade coming down your neck. But when they get power, even a tiny modicum of power at a local council level, never mind a state level, suddenly it's the power of the state come down on you. And as artists, like, have to really fight for those freedoms, because the right wing and the powerful use this language of freedom. They think that they're fighting for freedom when really what their freedom looks like control, and our freedom looks like expression. So I just wanted to add that to the conversation.
They're really trying to silence us and take away our freedom of speech. You know, you're not allowed to say certain things anymore on stage, like with regards to all the Palestine Action, you know, business at the moment that we have going on. It's been proscribed as a terrorist organisation in England and America now. Few members of the Filton 25, do we all know who the Filton 25 is?
Yeah.
Okay, so they broke into the Elbit Arms factory and done millions of pounds worth of damage, and some are, and too right. But, I mean, where people are occupied, resistance is justified, you know? But at the end of the day, they are trying to silence us. You're not allowed to say certain words with regards to Intifada. They literally are trying to strip us of our rights to be able to say what we want to say. And it's getting bad, you know. We need to come together to make a change. Otherwise, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And before you know it, we won't be able to say anything. Even some of my music, it's not allowed to be played on the radio. I'm shadow banned online. Because if I talk about violence, you know, drugs, the streets, things like that, I'm allowed on the radio. It'll be promoted. But because I talk about saving children, you know, and trying to raise money and help the people in need, they won't play on the radio. It's the same with Instagram and Facebook and all of these pages. I can't promote my, you know, my reels because I'm speaking about good things to try and help the world. But if I talk about bad things, I'm allowed to promote it. It doesn't really make sense. There's a big double standards going on at the moment, I think.
And all of those things, just to bring it all together, what comes to my mind is the importance of DIY culture and finding those pockets of freedom. I think what we are doing in this space, when we come to gigs or whatever community spaces we are finding, we are practicing what our world, what world we want to live in. We are practicing our principles so that we can then go out and spread that into our own lives and into other pockets of resistance elsewhere. So thank you so much, everybody. That was a lovely discussion. That went very well. Good. I'm pleased.
It's an honor. It's an honor.
I'm glad you're happy.
are we going to finish the show?
Yes, so just a quick plug. If you're not subscribed to the Vandal Factory podcast, give us a subscribe, give us a like, find us on social media. Tell your friends. We are totally unfunded.
tell all your friends.
We've got no sponsorship. We'd love some sponsorship. If anybody knows Zach Polanski and wants to chuck us a few quid, great. We'll sell out.
Tell all your friends we're totally unfunded.
There was no comment.
Like, tell all your friends we're unfunded. Why are you having that conversation? It's not your problem. Don't worry about it.
Spate is on next. Are you also joining on stage?
Yep.
Kenzie,
so check these guys
amazing out
straight after. I think Flamey's doing some talks as well about opposing the far right in America. Is that tomorrow?
Yes.
You're on as well?
Resisting Trump 2.0. Okay.
Resisting Trump 2.0. We need to pick up some tips because 1.0
are we only up to 2.0? God, feels like we've had a few more than that.
But we'd like a lovely sing-along. Maybe we'll all stay on stage.
Well, should we all stay around? Yeah, I'm having a good time. We'll be the most unusual backup dancers
I've
ever seen. Great. Have you ever heard backup dancers like this? I'm saying dancers. That wasn't on the cards, was it? Singers.
Let's do it.
Okay, great. Please, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Flamey Grimes!
Hi. Thank y'all so much for doing what you do and for having all of us here. And thank y'all for coming out. And this is definitely a sing-along. You'll pick up the chorus real fast, so just join in whenever you do. This is a song called Love Too Much, which is a thing I don't think we can do. Some hold it tight like gold in a purse. They only give out what they think you deserve. They treat it like it's something that you gotta earn. But that ain't the way I wanna live. I always get back more than I give. 'Cause you can't love too much. No, you can't love too much. No, this world's full upon hate. But let's get one thing straight. You can't love too much. That's the chorus. You got it?
Yeah, we got it.
All right. But don't worry, baby, there's an endless supply. You're pre-approved and overqualified. No limit on your heart's credit line. So spend it like you just won the lottery. Blow it on yourself and everyone you meet. 'Cause you can't love too much. You can't love too much. Now this world's full upon hates, but let's get one thing straight. You can't love too much. I know you can't love too much. Now this world's full upon hates, but let's get one thing straight. You can't love too much. Come on, friends, we're gonna be the revolution.
solution when we go all in. We know love is the solution. Yes, it is. Y'all ready for a key change? It's a solution. You can't love too much. You can't love too much. And now this world's full upon hate. But let's get one thing straight. You can't love too much. I know you can't love
too much. Come on, everyone. Let's go. Get up in the rain. Come on.
Now this world's full upon hate. Hey, come on. Let's get one thing gay. You can't love. You can't love too much.
That was like a dream come true.
Thanks so much for listening to this recorded talk. Explore our full Greenbelt Festival Talks archive with almost 20 years of recorded talks and podcasts for free at greenbelt.org.uk/talks.